Welcome to another message from beautiful Chattahoochee Creek. We are speaking on parables, metaphors, similes, allegories, hyperboles, different types of illustrations that God uses in His Word to teach something. And the book of Ruth is a book, a parable of redemption. A parable of redemption. The parable of the Goel. The Goel was a kinsman redeemer, but he had to be willing. He had to be a kinsman. He had to be willing. And he had to be able to redeem. Whatever. In John 3:16 it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Now, Jehovah, our Savior, Jesus, God became flesh to redeem. He became part of us and part of this creation. Man was not made from dirt, but made from the same elements that dirt was made from. And so man is part of this universe. He's kin to this universe. And Jesus, when He became our Goel, our kinsman redeemer, was a related, He was willing, and He was able to save and salvage that which was lost. The book of Ruth is a story of that. The book of Ruth was written somewhere between 1375 and 1050 B.C. Some people around 1050. The book of Ruth is right at the end of the period of Judges. If I had my chart up here, I could show you that it is into the age of the law, right possibly in the middle of it. And we're going to go into the book of Ruth. Now it came about in the days when the judges governed, ruled, that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judea went to pilgrim or sojourn in the land of Moab. Moab, of course, was one of the sons of Lot through his daughter. Moab means water from the father, in other words, semen from the father. She named him that this was her father's son from his semen. So now we have the Moabites. And God is a God of redemption, a God of love. And we're going to see Him using this woman through this Lot's seed is going to come forth the Messiah to come later, our Jesus, our Jehovah. The land of Moab with his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech. Elimelech means God is my king. And the name of his wife was Naomi, which means pleasant, lovely, beautiful, nice to look at. Naomi, nice to look at. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon, and Chilion. Now, these two boys were twins. Now, we're talking about before Christ here. We're talking about 1,000 years before Christ. When twins were born back in these days, many times they were sickly. Now we have Cain and Abel. We have, they were twins. And then we have Jacob and Esau were twins. We find out both of those boys were healthy. But these boys were not healthy. Marilyn is a twin. Marilyn, how big were you when you were born? What much did you weigh when you were born? 4 pounds. And your sister weighed 3. Okay, very small, and have to be very careful with these twins. So now these two boys, Chilion, both of these boys, Mahlon meant terminal. He's going to die anytime. This is really a cool name to name your kid. Terminal, he's going to die anytime. Dying, and then Chilion, and that meant sickly, poor. Now, they had two sickly boys, two sick kids. And Ephrathites from Ephraim, all right, up Bethlehem in Judah. Now, they entered the land of Moab and remained there. They remained there. Then Elimelech Naomi's husband died, and she was left to two sons. The word there in the Greek is, or in the Hebrew, that is, meoth. He died and stayed dead. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. And they took for themselves Moabite women. Now, these boys aren't exactly doing what God wants them to do. They want to marry within there. But God is going to use the sins of these boys to bring about glory. Remember also that in the lineage of Christ was Rahab the harlot from that ancient city of Jericho. And she is in the lineage of Christ. And the wives, the name of the one was Fawn, or beautiful and lovely Orpha, and the other was Ruth. Now Ruth, it means friend, faithful friend, but also means nice to look at. Nice to look at, comes from Ruth, nice to look at. Orpha means freshness, young, youthful, fawn. And then Ruth is the wife of Mahlon, which was the oldest of the two twins. And, of course, Chilion meant also frail. Also died, and the woman was bereft of her two children and her husband. Now, remember this also. Now, these boys had to pay dowry for these girls. And the dowry was paid for these girls. Actually, Ruth's family owned those girls for the rest of their lives. So we're going to see mercy all over the place in this book. Love and mercy and graciousness throughout this book. Then she arose with her two daughters-in-law, that she might return to the land from the man of Moab. Now they went out full, and they came in empty. They came back empty. They went out rich from Bethlehem, and they came home very poor. They went out full and came home empty. I want you to see this. When you leave the will of God, you may go out at full, but you're going to come home empty when you finally come home. For she had heard in the land of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them great amounts of victuals, food. Now, the word Bethlehem means house of bread, doesn't it? And that's a very fertile area. So she departed from the place where she was. And remember this, too, that we have two names of women in books of the Bible, don't we? Women named in the Bible. Not very many women are even named in the Bible, but we have Ruth and we have Esther. Both of them are books of grace and providence and protection from God. And from the place where she kept on being, and her two daughters-in-law and her, and they went on the road. On the road home to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go and return each of you to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me." These boys did not impregnate these girls. I don't know whether they were infertile or what, but these girls hadn't got pregnant. Now, if you go all the way back to the time of Tamar, we're going to be brought back into that historical moment right here. "May the Lord grant you, may find you rich, each one in the house of her husband." And then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices, and they wept. Now, they were her property, but she's going to free her slaves now. They're going to be free to go back to their families. This is a gift of grace. They're going to be free. And they said to her, "No, but we will surely return to you and your people." But Naomi said, "Return, my daughters. Why should you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may be your husbands?" Now remember what happened. Judah, which these are descendants of, Judah married married off his sons to Canaanite women. And the boys, the oldest boy, married Tamar, which means beautiful palm. Palm, tall and majestic. That was her name. Well, she was a godly woman, and that boy, God struck him dead, and then she married this other boy, and God struck him dead because of his wicked ways. And then Judah was afraid to give Tamar to his third son, yet, see, now here we have the lineage. Now Naomi is saying, hey, I don't think I got time enough to raise children. And Judah kept putting off Tamar's marriage to his youngest son because he's afraid God would strike him dead. And that was his last boy. So she tricked Judah. He was not a very godly man. He was promiscuous. And he was on the way to shearing sheep, and he saw this prostitute on the side of the road, and he would pay her, and they would have sex and go on down the road. Well, Tamar played like she was a prostitute. She took his staff and his belt and his signet ring, and of course he was going to kill her later on when she turns up pregnant. But that's how these children came into being right here. This is what they came from. And Naomi is repeating the story of Judah to them. Well, Judah impregnated Tamar, and she had twins, and one of them was Perez, and that's who they're descendants of. Naomi said, return, my daughters. Why should you go with me? Yet I have sons in my womb, that they may be your husband. Return, my daughters. Go, for I am old. I am too old to have a husband. If I have said I have hope, it should even have a husband tonight and also bear sons. Would you therefore wait until they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it's harder for me than for you. For the hand of the Lord has gone forth against me. Many times fathers, when they're whipping their children, this hurt me more than it's hurting you. And that's what she's telling to these girls. It's hurting me more than it's hurting you to send you away, because I love you and I know how much you love me. And they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. She kept on clinging to her. Then she said, behold, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods, her Elohims. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you, nor turn back from following you. For where you will go, I will go, and where you will lodge, I will lodge. And your sheep people shall be my people, and your great God shall be my God, Eloheinu. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse if anything but death parts you from me. Remember what Ruth means? Faithful. Good to look at and faithful. Faithful and good. She was pretty and good at the same time, wasn't she? Pretty good. Pretty and good. And when she saw that she was determined to go with her, she said nothing else to her. And they both went until they came to Bethlehem, the house of bread. Bethlehem. Lehem means bread or victuals, food. And Beth means house of food. And it came about when they had gone to Bethlehem that all the city was stirred because of them. And the woman said, is this Naomi? And they said to them, do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Mara means bitter. That's where the name Mary comes from. For the Almighty Shaddai, she said, El Shaddai, Shaddai, the all-nourishing one, but the all-powerful one, has dealt very bitterly with me. She didn't realize that God had a lot in store for her yet to come. They went away out of the will of God, but God brought them back. God's children, sometimes they can go out of His way, but God will bring them back home. And sometimes bless them more than he ever blessed them before in his life, because they learned their lessons. Verse number 21, I went out full. Yeah, when you go away from the Lord, you're full. But Jehovah has brought me back empty. Why do you call me Naomi? That means pleasant, beautiful. Since the Lord has witnessed against me, and the El Shaddai, Shaddai has afflicted me. So Naomi returned with Ruth and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, and returned to the land from the land of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Now Naomi had a Goel. That's a kinsman redeemer. Goel means a kinsman redeemer in Hebrew. Of her husband, a man of great wealth. He was rich. And a family of Elimelech, and whose name was Boaz, which means in his strength, or a very strong man. One of the pillars in Solomon's temple was called Boaz, in his strength. And Ruth the Moabite has said to Naaman, please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of corn. The ears of grain, that is. After there wasn't any corn, by the way. It says that in the King James. Ears of grain, after one whose sight I may find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. So she departed and went and gleaned in the field. And the reapers, and she happened. She chanced upon. God's guidance is not chance. It's guidance. She happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was the family of Elimelech. And now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, may the Lord be with you. And they said to him, may the Lord bless you. And Boaz said to his servant, who is in charge of the reapers? Whose young woman is this? Whose slave is this? Whose servant is this? Now, God made Ruth very beautiful for a reason, to attract Boaz. And the servant in charge of the reapers answered and said, she is a young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab. Now, she's no longer a virgin, but she's very beautiful. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. And thus she came and has remained from the morning until now, and she has been sitting in the house for a little while. Now, if you go back to the law, the greatest welfare system, that rock makes a good book rest here. If you go back to the law, you'll find out that no man that owned a field or orchard or vineyard could take all of the grapes, all of the fruit, or all of the grain out of the fields. They had to leave the corners of the fields and some in the fields. This is what we call the greatest welfare system in the world, because the people had to go out and work to get their bread. But God provided for them under the law. And you look back in the Deuteronomy and Leviticus and all of this, you will find out these laws. They could not reap everything. And the seventh year, they couldn't reap anything at all. It was all for the poor. Redistribution of funds, so to speak. Now, here we're going to see Boaz being even more gracious than he had to be by law. Than he had to be by law. And Boaz answered, she's been sitting in the house for a little while, in verse number 8, and Boaz said to Ruth, listen carefully, my daughter, do not glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but stay here with my maids, my young ladies. You're going to be safe here. You're going to be safe. I will protect you, because women weren't safe by themselves out in the fields. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. You are under my protection. And when you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw. You're part of the family, girl. You're under my protection. Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, why have I found favor in your sight, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? And Boaz answered and said to her, all that you have done for your mother-in-law. She was famous, abounding in fame. That's what famous. O-U-S means abounding in fame. Her loyalty had given her fame in the land. They had heard, and people had passed them on the trail and went back, hey, Naomi's coming back, and her faithful daughter-in-law will not leave her, but's going to serve our God. So she has fame in the land already. Her reputation has preceded her. After the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and your mother in the land of your birth and came to the people that you did not previously know, may the Lord reward your work, and may your wages be filled plumb to the top, and the Lord, the God of Israel, Jehovah, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. Now that is a parable, a hyperbole. God doesn't have wings. But it's using like a mother hen or an eagle will protect her young. Then she said, I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. And at mealtime, this is dinner time now, Boaz said to her, come over here, that you may eat the bread and dip your piece of bread in this wine, a wine sauce. Now, this is a sauce of the rich. Now she's going to be eating from the table of a rich man. And she comes over here and she dips her bread right in the dish where he is sitting there in front of him, where he has the best of the wine and the different sauces in there and herbs. And she sat beside the reapers and he served her roasted grain. And she ate and was satisfied and had some left. In other words, he gave her more than she could eat. Now, I saw, Marilyn, you didn't eat all your breakfast this morning, because I knew you had a candy bar in your back pocket or something. I know you. And she rose to glean, and Boaz commanded his servant, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not say one thing to her. And also, you shall purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles and leave it, that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. Now, we had this welfare system back then. Those that were able went and gleaned in the field, but those that were not were beggars. And this is where we have a legitimate beggars, because the beggars couldn't go and even pick up anything. And people would have mercy upon them and give them coins so that they could live, because they could not even go out and do this. So we have a total godly welfare system back in those days, before Social Security and before welfare and all that. And so she gleaned the field until the evening, and then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw that she had gleaned, and she also took it out and gave Naomi what she had left after she was satisfied. See, she fed the mother first. Then what's left over, she gives. This is what you call humility, true humility. And her mother-in-law said to her, where did you glean today? Where did you do your work? And may he who took notice of you be blessed. And so she told her mother-in-law whom she had worked and said, the name of the man is in his strength, Boaz, where I work today. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, may he be blessed of the Lord, who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and the dead. To the living and the dead. And again Naomi said to her, the man is our relative. He's our Goel. He's our close relative. And he is one of our closest relatives. Our closest redeemers. That's what she said. Jesus is our redeemer. He's our close redeemer. Then Ruth the Moabitess said, furthermore, he said to me, you shall stay close to my servants until they have finished all of my harvest. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with his maids, lest others fall upon you in another field and rape her, pillage her, take her as a servant or a slave or a concubine. It was dangerous for women back in those days that didn't have protection. And so she stayed close by the maids of Boaz in order to glean until the evening of barley harvest and the wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law. Chapter 3. Now Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, shall I not seek security, rest for you, that it may be well with you? And now is not Boaz our closest redeemer? That's what it says, our closest redeemer, with whose maids you were. Behold, the winnows barley at the threshing floor tonight. He winnows barley at the threshing floor tonight. Wash your clothes. Now, get ready to get married. I want you to go baptize yourself. She's baptizing herself. Every one of the children, the women of Israel, after they went through their monthly cycle, they baptized 12 times, dipped in water 12 times, and were raised up. They were dipped once for each tribe of Israel. Now she tells her to go ceremonially, they dip yourself, because you're going to get married. You're going to go to your husband. Wash, dip yourself, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on the best clothes, and go down to the flesh, and before, do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lies down, that you shall notice the place where he lies out, and you shall go and uncover his feet and lie down. Go get in bed with him. That's what she told her to do. Go get in bed with him. Go lay at his feet. Then he will tell you what you shall do. Make yourself available to this man, because he's your closest relative. Now let's see what Boaz does. Marilyn, this reminds you of women in your life? And she said to her, has every woman ever set her eyes on a man and won't turn loose until she gets him? And she said to her, all that you say I will do. So she went down. Now she's risking her reputation, her honor and everything by doing what Naomi tells her. But God's providence is in all of it. So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law had commanded her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, his heart was merry. He was a little drunk. He was tipsy. He went down to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. And she came secretly and uncovered his feet and lay down by him. This is a little forward, isn't it? A lot of people try to make less of this, but this is what it was. And it happened in the middle of the night that the man was startled and bent forward, and behold, a woman was lying at his feet. And he said, who are you? And she said, I am Ruth, your maid. So spread your covering over your maid, for you are a kinsman redeemer. I want to marry you. She asked him to marry her. I am yours. Here I am. I am yours. Now let's see what Ruth says. Then he said, may you be blessed of the Lord, Jehovah, my daughter. You have shown your last kindness to be better than the first by going after younger men, whether poor or rich. You didn't go chase after some young, good-looking man. You're following the rules and the laws of the God that you don't know much about. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you whatever you may ask or say. For all of my people in the city know that you are a woman of excellence. You are a woman of mercy. Mercy. She was merciful to her mother-in-law. Her mother-in-law would have died without her. And now it is true that I am a close relative. I am a Goel. However, there is a Goel closer than I am, he says. Now there's a problem. A Goel had to be willing and he had to be able to redeem this person. And she was a beautiful woman. But now he has to go ask permission of the one that's closer relative than he is to have this woman as his wife. And to redeem her and bring children up after her husband. Remain this night, and when morning comes, if he will redeem you, good. Let him redeem you. But if he does not wish to redeem you, if he's not able to redeem you, I am willing to redeem you. As the Lord lives, lie down until morning. Stay here with me. I'm not going to touch her, but stay there with him. Because this was his promise to her that he would be her husband, but not until he could do it right. And she lay down at his feet until morning and rose before anyone could recognize her. Slipped out. Let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor. And again he said, give me the cloak that is on you and hold it. And she held it, and he measured out 6 measures. Six measures. You remember there were 6 days in the creation? 6 is the number of man. 6 measures of barley and lay it on her. And then she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, how did you go, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done for her that night. And she said, these 6 measures of barley he gave for me, he said, do not go to your mother-in-law house empty-handed. Then she said, wait, my daughter, until you know how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest until he has settled it this day. He won't rest until this is settled. Now, number 4th chapter. Now Boaz went up to the gate. Now the gate there is actually the courthouse. The gate, there was a gate to the city, and is the outer gate, and in the middle is where all the judges and lawyers sat, and then we go into the city. Everything that came into the city was judged by the judges. They saw the lawyers and the judges and the high sheriffs of the land before they went any further in the city, and they looked at them. So now we're going into court. And he said, behold, the close relative of whom Boaz spoke was passing, so he said, turn aside, my friend, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down, and he took 10 men. This is the jury. He took 10 men, the jury, the lawyers of the city, the elders of the city, and said, sit down here. So they sat down. Then he said to the closest relative, the closest redeemer, Naomi, who has come back from the land of Moab, has to sell the piece of land which belonged to her brother Elimelech, or our brother Elimelech. So I thought to inform you, saying, buy it before those who are sitting here and before the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it, but if not, tell me that I may know, for there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am after you. I am the next closest relative. And he said, I will redeem it. Then Boaz, on the day that you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also acquire Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of the deceased, in order to raise up the name of the deceased in the inheritance, like what happened to Tamar and Judah. And the closest relative, the closest redeemer, Goel, said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I jeopardize my own inheritance. Redeem it for yourself. You may have my right of redemption, for I cannot redeem it. Our first Adam damned this. Our first birth, we are cursed and infected with the infection of sin. By our second birth, we are redeemed with our Redeemer, our Goel, Jesus Christ. Now this is the custom of the former times in Israel concerning the redemption and exchange of land. To confirm any matter, a man removed his sandal and gave it to the other, took his shoe off, along with his odor. This is what happened in the days of Abraham, and now what happened here. And this was the manner of the accession in Israel. So the closest relative, the closest redeemer, said to Boaz, buy it for yourself, and he removed his sandal. Then Boaz said to the elders and all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech. Remember, Elimelech means God is my king. And all that belonged to Chilion and Mahalon, these brothers, twin brothers. Moreover, I have acquired Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, to be my wife, in order to raise up the name of the deceased on his inheritance, so that the name of the deceased may not be cut off from his brothers or from the court, the gates of his birthplace. You are witnesses this day. So they had to sign. And all the people who were in the court and the jury said, we are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, both whom built the house of Israel, and may you achieve wealth in Ephrathah and become famous in Bethlehem. And of course he was. He said, they will call your name in honor. Now the last few verses. Moreover, may your house be like the house of Perez. That is Tamar, that's Judah's son, whom Tamar bore to Judah through the offspring which the Lord shall give you by this woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he went into her. And the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave forth birth to a son. And the woman said to Naomi, blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer today, a close redeemer today. This descendant of Ruth would become the true redeemer of Israel and you and me, the only redeemer that we have. And may thus the name become famous in Israel. And thus may the name be called on in Israel. Jesus was called upon. Hosanna. May he also be you a restorer of life and a sustainer of your old age. And for your daughter-in-law who loves you and is better for you than seven sons has given birth to him. Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her lap and became his nurse. And the neighbor women came and gave him a name, saying, a son has been born to Naomi, so his name shall be Obed. And his father is Jesse, and the father of David, the king of Israel. This was the lap link between the judges and the king of Israel. And it jumps over old Saul and goes right to David, because David was always going to be the king of Israel. When he was born to be the king of Israel. That's God's plan. But they got in a hurry, and they asked for a king before David was ready. And so he gave them Saul, which means one asked for, from the tribe of Benjamin. But David was of the tribe of Judah, the lion of the tribe of Judah. Now these are the generations of Perez. To Perez was born Hezron. and Hezron was born Ram, and Ram Amminadab, and Amminadab was born Nahshon, and to Nahshon born Solomon, and to Solomon was born Boaz, and to Boaz Obed, and to Obed was born Jesse, and to Jesse David, the king of Israel. A parable of redemption, a parable of love, a parable of faithfulness. And all of it shows one thing. This shows to us our Redeemer and His bride, the obedient ones in the time, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ruth was like the church. She was obedient. She's the type of the church. She's the parable of the church. She's the metaphor of the church. She's the simile of the church. And of course, Boaz is a type of Christ to come, our Redeemer. And if we will be faithful as God's children, our salvation is secure in Christ. But if we want to be part of that bride, that's a different story. We have to be faithful like Ruth was. We have to put away all of our pride and everything that we have and give ourselves to the Lord forever. Father, we thank you for this message today on the creek. Help it to go out and to reach people's hearts. Thank you for the parable of Ruth, of her love, her faithfulness, that we can walk in her footsteps and that we can bask in the glory of the strength of our Christ, as Boaz means, in his strength. In his strength we rest. In his strength we rest and we glory, for he is our Redeemer. He is our Savior. He is our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.